where we should have been.
Yes, sir.
And can I just tell you that after 62 years, help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, I know some of us are here, but we need all the men that we can get.
Yes, sir.
Because God left you in charge.
Yes, sir.
And when you don't do what you are supposed to do, somebody else will start doing what you are supposed to be doing. If my wife wants a new dress, and I won't get her a new dress, somebody else will see that she wears a new dress. They'll see to that. And brothers, that's the way it is. If you don't do what thus saith the Lord, God got somebody that'll step up and do what he needs to be done. Because what God needs to be done will not go undone. Theme for the service is God will work it out. From 28 of 8th chapter of Romans, and I included 29 and 30. And I'm going to, in my talking, I'm going to say man or men, mostly 90 to 95% of the time. But sister, it's just like in Genesis when he said God created man. And then somewhere else it said he created them. You too. You too. Man desperately struggles against the pressure and forces, both within himself and those that are alien to him. He struggles against the weight and discouragement of trials, against the pollution and corruptions of life, against the relentless accusations and bombardments, and his conscience and laws, against the pain and decay of his body, against the suffering, fear, and hopelessness of an eternal judgment in the hereafter. We are struggling with those things. He struggles against the unknown and against the pain and the hurt, the sorrow, the loneliness, and hell. And somehow through his suffering, he struggles throughout life. He feels that his suffering and struggling are done to a wrong relationship with God. And can I just pause right there and let you know that that's what's wrong. Our relationship with God is not like God would have it to be. Therefore, man's view has many problems as really being one supreme problem. And that is how to get right with God. If he can establish the right relationship with God, he feels sure God will help him through his trials and take care of the future hereafter. Those who love God and are called by him definitely will be freed from the bondage and the corruptions of this life and ushered into the glory, the absolute eternity that God have for all people. Everybody that served the Lord have a promise that God will take you into eternity and everything will be all right.
Yes.
Point number one, from verse number 28. God works all things out for those who love him. God works all things out for those who love him. That's a confident statement. The scripture actually declares all things work together for good to the believers. Nothing could be more assuring them that God got your back.
Yes, sir.
If you love him and you do what you are supposed to do. The phrase working all things out for his good. All things goes well beyond the great events of the world. All things goes beyond 911 of 01. All things goes beyond anything that you can think of. Goes well beyond them because God rules all things. All events and happening that occurs in this life, in the life of the believers, God will work them out for good.
Yes.
And on the behalf of the believers. I heard something this morning or something that says that last year at this time, Brother Ferguson was in the hospital as well. He's in there today. What he has to do and what we have to do is see God working in this. Because the Bible tells us in this verse, and I don't know if y'all had him in mind when you got this or not, but it said all things, not some. And you do know all in the Bible is inclusive of everything that there is. And we don't wish sickness on anybody. But if you look, if you're serving God and you look into God for your help, no matter what happened to you, you can look at it and you can see God is going to get the glory out of this. You remember how when he walked in here from the other time.
Yes, sir.
The effect it had on the people that knew this situation that he had been in. And if you believe this God, if you serve this God, this also is going to work for God's good.
Yes.
We might not understand it now, but by and by we will understand it. Because God, nothing happened to God's people that God does not get the glory from. What he need to do and what we need to do is walk with our head up, constantly looking to the hills from whence cometh our help.
Yes.
Because it says all things. And all is all. I don't know anything on the other side of all, but all. That's everything that happened, good, bad, or indifferent. God will get the glory from it if it's in believers, because God will not have negative things to happen to his people. But you got to be looking for it. You can't let the circumstances determine that you turn away from him. The words work together mean to create and eliminate, to place and replace, to connect and regroup, to arrange and influence. And working together also is in the present action, which means that all things are continuing to work together to good for the good of God. It's not something that works together for the good for just a little while.
All right.
It goes all the time. All things work together for good to those that work together, meaning that this is going to make us better and it's all going to have an effect on what we do and how we live. It's difficult to see. I said this morning in Sunday school, sometimes to understand God, you got to have a disembodied experience. You got to forget about the physical and think along the spiritual line. Nothing can happen until we receive God as a spiritual being.
Yes.
That's why it's difficult for us to understand the Trinity. Because we look at it in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We try to come up with solutions. Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a dad. No, that's not it. That's three separate personalities. God is that in the Trinity. He is that. So therefore, we need to understand, we need to see things not in the flesh, but in the spirit. God's going to get the glory out of things that happen because all things will work together for him. Good mean the ultimate good, not a temporary good. Ultimate mean it's the best that there is. Nothing else can be better than that. It's the ultimate good. We cannot see the future. We cannot take a single event and see all the lines and ramifications that run from it. You could not see the effect that 911 was still going to be having on you today when it happened. If it would have, the first Sunday after 9/11, the church was almost full. And it wasn't just one church. And look at us now. The same ones that were coming then that are still alive, they basically come. But some people ran to the church thinking that was going to solve it all. It worked together for the good, meaning the ultimate good. You have to stay with God because God is the only way that things are going to get worked out and get worked out right. The things that we can't see, God already knows. He already knows. I know some of you thought you were going to be here today. You plan to be here today and said, with God's will, God allow me to live, I'm going to be there. But God already knew that. If you look at this, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you look at this and you go down there and you read all those other things down there, most of them are things that says already happened. They have an ED on in it. I don't know much about the English language, but I know when you see ED is something that happened yesterday. I know that. Yesterday or the day before, it said I'm glorified. And it has an ED on the end of it. But we got to keep living so we can get the glorified body when Christ come back. That's the last part of it, the glorification. So it's already happened, and it's hard for us to understand it because we're in a physical world. That's why it was difficult for some people to get grasp of that Sunday school lesson this morning. Because it's written as if it had already happened, and you looking at it for it to be right now. God was here before we got past and future.
Yes, sir.
But in all that has been said, there is, however, a limitation on this glorious promise that God gave us in verse 28. God worked things out for good only for those who love him and are the call according to his purpose.
Yes.
If you are not called according to his purpose, it's not going to work out for good. And you got to love him. You got to love him, not like him. You got to love him. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You love him by showing your brethren that you love them as well. No matter what they do, how they treat you, what they say, you yet love them because you are the call according to the purpose of God. Don't let somebody else decide what you do, why you do serve or do or do not serve God. Think about it for a moment. If a man does not love God, I'm not lost, I'm pausing there for you, and does not place his life into the hands of God, how can God take care of him? You say you love him. You say you're his child. But you won't allow him to be in control of your life. You won't put yourself in his hand. You're going to be your own man. You're going to do exactly what you want to do and just like you want to do it. You won't be in the hands of God. Because you have not surrendered yourself to him. When you surrender yourself to him, you are not your own. You were bought with a price.
Yes.
You were on an auction block on your way to hell. And God would save you if you will put your life into his hand. And that's all areas of your life. All of them, when you put them into his hand, he will take care of you. If you turn your back on God, how can he care for you? Because you're not doing what thus saith the Lord. When you turn your back on him, you are saying, in essence, I can make it without you. And you really can make your way to hell.
All right.
That's where you decide. You decide, and you decide by the lifestyle that you live down here. You cannot live here any kind of way you want to and just go to heaven anyhow. You cannot do it. You have to stay within the boundaries of this word of God. That's why they said every now and then you'll meet a traveler, because the road is not that wide. Some of them may be clay roads and may call them lanes. In your life, you got some lanes in your life where you have to walk. It's real narrow. And if you don't watch out, you'll step off of it. The longer you walk with God, the easier it get to walk on narrow paths. Because he will straighten you out if you allow him to. You have to let him straighten you out. Point number two. God has determined to fulfill his purpose for the believer. You didn't determine. God has determined to fulfill his purpose for the believer. Verse 29. This passage of the Bible is often abused and misused. It's not dealing so much with the theological and the philosophical, but more with the spiritual experience of the Christian believer. Not theology, not what I think. It's dealing with the experience of the Christian believer. If the true theology and philosophies are applied, then the passage is saying that God chooses some for heaven and others for the terrible place called hell. That's simply not what it means. It's not what God intended. What God wants the believer to do is to take heart, for he has assured their salvation. No matter how great the suffering, no matter how great the opposition, no matter how great the struggle, God is going to complete his purpose for the believer. All right. If that was not so, when Christ died on the cross, he would still be in the grave. But that's not so, because just because they killed him, thought they did on the cross, does not mean that God is not yet alive. The believers will be conformed to the image of God's dear son, because he said that we would be in that image. Conform mean the very same form or likeness as Christ, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. This is why you need to live a life that God would be pleased with, because everybody that you know are not going to pick up one of these and start reading them. I start studying them. This is why you need to emulate. You need to be in Christ. You need to be Christ-like in all your endeavors or in all your doings with other people, so you can lead them to Christ. They might not come to hear me preach or hear you sing, but they'll watch your life and they will emulate you with the way that you live. So therefore, we need to be conformed to the likeness of Christ and be like him and be that example for others. Not just men, but men and women, boys and girls that profess to be believers of Christ. We need to make sure that we live a life that will draw others to Christ. We need to constantly be on the offense for Christ, trying to get others to come to Christ, no matter what you're doing. Even in Walmart. All right. When somebody else get the last crate of orange juice and you wanted one and they don't have any more, you need to be like Christ. You need to emulate him in everything that you do. Because you will, all your whole life, your lifestyle, you are saying, I want to be like Christ. And we need to want to be like Christ more than Sunday morning, 24/7. You need to want to be like Christ. Okay. we shall be made like him. We will be perfect and we will be eternal. Without disease or pain, without sin or death, we will be the perfection in image and likeness of God's only begotten Son. We will be like him. God's Son means to become partakers of the divine nature. We must become partakers of the divine nature. We must be to be, this means we will be adopted as sons of God. We will be holy and without blaming others. We will be holy. We will be holy within, and we will not blame anyone if we're not. We will suffer the consequences if we're not. If you are a child of God and you misbehave, you should expect consequences from that. If you know that you've misbehaved, you should repent and ask God to forgive you for the sin that you committed or the wrong that you have committed against somebody else. Don't wait for somebody to come tell you that you did them wrong. Amen. Hello. If you think you did, you need to go and ask for forgiveness if you are a child of God. We have to be one body, fashioned just like his glorious body. We will be just like him when we get our glorified body, when he comes back. This is why we need to get sanctified and be justified while we are walking around down here, because the third part of that is glorification. You get that when Christ comes back. But you must be sanctified and justified while you're walking around down here in this sinful world so you can lead others to Christ. Sounds easy, but you got to live it. And you can't just be that way on Sunday. When you're at your job, you must be that way. When you're at home, you must be that. Wherever you are, you need to be that sanctified and justified Christian, trying to wait in on the third part of it to come so you can be glorified. But you got to be there. God will do what he said that he would do. God said he would recreate us just like his son. He's going to do that. But we have to know that the believer is going to be conformed to the image of Christ, and nothing can stop that from happening if you are a believer of Christ. We may persecute you down here and you may think you're the worst thing in the world, but if you keep living for God, then you will get your glorified body when Christ comes back. You can't get it before, but you can get it when he comes back. So you just need to make sure you stay sanctified and justified while you are down here. And then when you always got something to look forward to. And that's glorification. When you live down here justified, sanctified and justified, you know glorification is on the way. You can always be looking for something, because God never goes back on his word. It's a done deal when you serve this God that we serve. Point number three. And please, ma'am, and please, sir, don't forget that God's word is awesome. And he's going to keep his word. Make it dark. It may look like nothing is happening. But TBN got something called Behind the Scene. Where nobody, they show you something that happened that you don't know happened about the program that you're watching. That's what God does in our lives. A lot of times he works behind the scene. You don't even realize that he's working. But he's at work in our lives when we live for him. If we do the justification, the sanctification and the justification down here, we will get the glorification. God promised us that. We will be like Jesus. Jesus got his glorified body after the resurrection. Everywhere else he went, he walked. He walked. He got hungry. He slept. But when he got his glorified body, I said this morning, he told him, don't touch me because I have not ascended to my Father. And a little while later, somebody else was talking to him and they could touch him. So you see, his glorified body could do that. The body he was in before, he never did anything like that. He always walked along with the disciples. Okay, I said point number three. God has set the glorification of the believers once for all. It's only going to be one time. Once you get glorification one time. And that's in verse 30. This scripture talks about the genuine believer. Genuine means that in possession of everything that they should be in possession of to be a believer. Meaning that they have lived the life that God is pleased with. And they continue to live that life because they are children of God. And they live that way. Genuine believer is a person who sincerely believes in Jesus Christ and is diligently seeking to please him. You don't seek to please everybody else. You can be a genuine believer and a lot of the people around you not like you, not think that you are worth anything. But if you are a genuine believer and God is pleased with you, you are working towards your glorified body. But you have to know yourself that God will work it out. When it seems like it's going bad, and you know you have lived and have done what thus saith the Lord, you need to stay right there. You need to grit your teeth and hurt and stay in pain, but stay right there because God has a blessing on the other side. The genuine believer lives soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You should not want to wait till you get to heaven.
All right.
To live righteous. To prove that you're righteous, you ought to live righteous when people around you might not be living righteous. Uh-oh. Won't have many friends then. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes.
If Jesus is my friend, everything's going to be all right.
Yes.
It's the genuine believer whose glorification is predestinated, set forever, even by God. All of this is in the past for God. God made a way. And I know when you read that and y'all a lot more intelligent than I am. Y'all get all that, but I had to scuffle with that because I still got some secular stuff in me. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on this sanctification and this justification. I'm trying to get through them so I can get my glorified body. But when he talks about this, the believer, he says it, and I said it earlier, that those words there have the ED on the end that mean it's already happened in God's time.
Yeah.
So that tells me I got to keep living and keep doing right so I can get there and receive that. He says in that verse, let me read it to you again. I know y'all got it down pat, but let me read it to you again. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, it's there. It's waiting on us to get there. It's just like this guy, some of y'all probably not old enough to remember this. There used to be a TV show called The Millionaire. He'd come knock on your door, and he'd give you a check for $1 million. It was already in the bank. All you had to do was go cash the check.
Yeah.
Now, don't raise your hand. How many of you waited for him to knock on your door? So now this is the way it is with this glorification. It's already in the bank. God said it in his word. He said it in his word. Those whom he called. Well, I think it's what, Genesis 3:15 or 16? 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He's promising the coming of the Messiah. way back there in Genesis, and he did not get here in the Bible until Matthew's, way over in the New Testament. So God's word is true. He's going to do exactly what he said that he would do. He called the true believers. Sometime the scripture in your heart will stir you. Sometime the scripture that you read will stir you. I was reading this morning, and I was reading this book about praying the scripture, and it said, the Conwell said in the book, said, when you are studying God's word and you are reading it and somebody come to your mind that needs prayer, mm-hmm. said, stop right there and pray.
Yes, sir.
And pray. And pray. And I did that, and I had a good time sitting there in the recliner. I was thinking about going to sleep, but when I read that, I didn't go to sleep. I woke up and I started praying for people, especially people that I knew that were sick or maybe, and I just said, God, will you bless them, touch them, heal them, make them whole so they can do the will of your will. And see, when we pray for somebody else, then God will get the glory for it. And you don't have to tell me that you prayed for me for 15 or 20 minutes or nobody else. You just pray for them. And God will do the answering. And then when God will get the glory from it. So but we need to know that you pray for people when it comes to your mind to pray for them, and God will bless them and God will get the glory. God has justified the believer. To be justified means that it's just as if I had never sinned. When God takes the believer, the sinner person, and makes him or her a believer, it's because of the intent of the person's heart. They confess their sins to Christ, and they confess from their heart, and Christ will take them, and then they will begin to God, it will be just as if they had never sinned. Now, don't raise your hands. How many of you just like that on the surface? Yeah, just as if when I know that I have, God treats me just as if I had never sinned, because I confess my sins to him and I believe in his son, and I live the best I know how while I'm learning this word, while I'm getting this word to plant it in my heart. So therefore he can change me and make me justified. You got to know that. You got to confess your sins. This, and I keep saying this because I want this to get home, has already happened in God's time. But we got to get to the place where we are at that and ready to receive that. If you're not ready to receive it, then it won't ever happen to you. Your heart's not right. And let me say this, and I'm not crutching you. Don't try to wait until you get everything right in your life before you surrender to Christ. What we would call the best Christians and the worst sinners are the same people. Don't look around. They're the same people. Because any sin at all is one too many in the presence of God. You cannot take it into heaven with you. You are going to have to confess it and repent of it and allow God to forgive you of your sin. Justification has already taken place in the believer. If the believer have truly been called by God, not called by your denomination, not called by your preacher, not called by your mama, or nobody else, but called by God. And to be called by God does not mean you do what we call preach. Hello. If you're going to be a servant of God, you need to be called. If you're going to just pick up paper in God's house, you need to be called. Because some people can't pick up paper in a humble sense. They are arrogant when they pick it up. They're arrogant when they throw it away. And it's the same way with preaching and teaching and singing and playing. We get arrogant and get beside ourselves, thinking that God need me. You better wake up. Because you need God. And no matter how well you think you do something without God, and you can make everybody enjoy what you're doing, but if you're not the call according to the purpose of God, you might as well not be doing it.
All right.
Might as well be sitting down or still out there with your 12-ounce curl. If you have truly been saved, then your deliverance from struggling and suffering is assured. When God saved you, he took the responsibility of you not having struggles and suffering. Not meaning that they won't come your way, but you'll get through it. Most of us have seen people and we knew that they were going through something, but just from looking at them and watching them, you couldn't tell it. Because they were walking in the Spirit of God. Because God guided them through them. When you have to go through something by yourself, it's more difficult. But when you are walking through it with some help, yeah, it's a whole lot easier. I told this before, and it come to my mind right now. We were doing some remodeling at Lebanon, and Pastor Lewis and I, we had rolled up an old piece of carpet, and we were trying to pick it up, and it was so long, we couldn't pick it up. Every time we picked it up, it was being in the middle, and we couldn't get it out the building. Mr. Allen then, I thought he was 80 or 90 then, but he wasn't. He walked right up there with one hand, put it under there, and picked it up, and we walked out. Just that little bit. See, somebody else needed to help us. Christ is the one that needs to help you so you can get sanctified and justified and then get your glorified body. He can take all your sin. You can't do anything with your sin but add to it. You can't take it away. You can't take your sin away. You can stop doing them, but you can't take them away. Only Christ can do that. So we need to repent of our sin, and then he will justify us if we've truly been saved. Then deliverance comes from the struggling and the suffering. When you're struggling and suffering, God will deliver you. If you, I keep saying this, if you want to make the devil mad,
all right,
in the middle of your trouble, just start praising God and let it be from your heart. And you don't have to be in church. You can be on your job at Walmart, wherever it is, at the house. Your husband or wife could think you're crazy. You be in there praising God, and they don't know why. But you know why you praising God, because you have been delivered from something that had control of you. We need to understand that with God, you can get rid of whatever is ailing you or whatever is stopping you from serving this God that we serve. The one thing that seemed to attach itself to us when we are struggling and going through is discouragement. If everybody around us keep telling us how bad it is, how difficult it is, well, I don't want to, But you know, brother so and so, and he's a real good, he's a believer. He told me this is difficult to get through, and I just believe him. You need to start going another way to work. If you run into brother so and so on your way to work, you go the other way to work. I mean, he could be a good person, but he's not good for you in the situation that you're in. You need to go to another way and run into that guy over there that get drunks every now and then, that tell you, man, you can get over it. Because he's gotten over some hangovers, so he know what it's like. You're going to get discouraged, but he can help you get through it. Don't allow yourself to become discouraged because of the circumstances or the situation that you're in. Whatever situation you're in, God have gotten someone else through it. And we need to understand that and know that, that God can get us through whatever we are going through. God, in the end, when Christ comes back, will glorify the believers. That's when we receive that. And I keep saying this. I want this to stay with you. It's in the past. It's already done. This is why some people, when they're studying this passage, they think God have already decided that everybody on this side is going to heaven. And don't y'all take it serious. Everybody on this side is going to hell. And these people over here, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. That's not the way it is. It's not that way. He set it in order. He set it in order. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, this is what you'll receive. That stop sign out there got a ticket on it. If the police, and in case y'all, some of you didn't know it, they park back out there by them two buildings sometimes. So when you're coming up here, you probably ought to come to a complete stop. Because if they see you running, they're going to give you a ticket. And that's what's written on there. But if you obey it, they're not going to say anything to you. They're going to just let you drive on off. But my point in saying that is that stop sign, when they made the law that they were going to put a stop sign, and if people didn't stop, they were going to get a ticket. If you read that somewhere, it ought to have, if you run this stop sign, you will get a ticket. If you run it. Now they wrote it back in early 50s or early 60s or early 1900s. It's still going to happen today. And it's going to read as if it right now. So therefore, what I'm saying is that it's written where it continues to happen. And that's what God's going to do. It was written in the past, but it'll happen now. God will, because that's what, if you would have ran that stop sign then, you would have gotten a ticket. If you do what God said for you to do, you will receive the glorified body. And it's there. There's nothing that can be done about it because God said it. And when God said it, whether I believe it or not, it's still true. You don't have to believe it for it to be true in God's word if God says it. So therefore, God will work it out if I do my part in what I'm supposed to do. He has put it in the book. And the book is what we're going to be judged by. So therefore, we need to know that God will work things out where we can receive our glorified body if we do those things that he said for us to do. And in my conclusion, there was a parakeet in a store, in a home. I had two about parakeets, and I took the one that's in the home. There was a parakeet in the home. And the wife of the house decided to clean his cage. She left him in the cage, and she was cleaning the cage with a vacuum cleaner. She started cleaning the parrot's cage, and the telephone rang. And it wasn't cell phones. It was those roller kind. She left the vacuum cleaner on, went to answer the telephone. She answered the telephone and returned. When she returned, she did not see the parakeet. The parakeet's name was Chappie. She started looking for Chappie, and she couldn't find him, and she noticed the hose on the vacuum cleaner had gone around in the cage. She shut it off, opened up the vacuum cleaner, found Chappie in all the dust and the stuff that's in the vacuum cleaner. She reached, tore the bag open, reached in there, got him out. Now, don't y'all fall off and leave me here, because I'm going somewhere with this. She got him out. And in getting him out, she looked at him and saw how nasty and dirty he looked. She ran to the kitchen sink. She turned the sink on, washing the stuff off of him, washing it off of him. And the parakeet's just laying there. He's not saying anything. Then she, after she finished washing him, She dries them off. But she doesn't get a towel to dry them off. She gets her hair dry. She turned the hair dryer on and she starts blowing him dry. Blowing him dry. And she looked at him and he was just looking at her. After he looked okay, she put him up back in his cage. And the parakeets just sitting up on the roost. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Before, he was always singing. Always singing a song, just singing. And for about a week after sitting up on the perch, he never said another song. He never sung anymore. One of her friends come over and said, "How is Chappie?" She said, "I don't know." So all he does now is sit up on that perch and just stare. She said, "Does he sing?" She said, "No, he doesn't sing anymore." So he just sat there and stare off into space. That's it. Now, let me tell you. Can you see yourself? Jesus saying he gonna save you. And he comes and he dies for you. But then in his death and everything is that hose that's running around in it and still got the power going to it. You get sucked up in it. I'm going somewhere. You get sucked up in it. Then you go in that bag with all of that stuff in it. All of that filth, all of that dirt, all of everything that come off there. You go into it. And then somebody come along and witness to you. And you get out of it. Then you go and you get dipped in the water. But your mind haven't been changed. See, your mind got to be changed. You got to have a different train of thought. This bird got in such a great shock that his mind couldn't come back to where it used to be. Because of all the disasters and all the trials and the tribulations that had come on him that he was not used to. I stop by to tell you that we don't have to go through that. When Christ saved you, you don't have to worry about the thing that happened to you yesterday. You don't have to be thinking about the lies that you told when you were 30 years old. You don't have to be thinking about the adultery you committed when you were 45 and the lies you told and you backbited on other people when you were 50. If you surrender your life to Christ, everything's going to be all right. You won't have to sit up in church and just stare and look around. You can worship and you can praise God because God has forgiven you of your sins. You won't have to be like Chappie. Chappie was still shocked. He was in a state of shock. He didn't know what to do because of the trials and the tribulations that he had been through. I stopped by to tell you the trials and the tribulations that you've been through. When Christ went to Calvary, he took care of it all. God will work it out, and Jesus worked it out on Calvary for a sinner like me and a sinner like you. When you surrender your life to Christ, everything will be all right. You don't have to work it out. Christ have already worked it out. Didn't say man will work it out. The theme is God will work it out, and God will do what he said he'd do. He'll keep his word. You don't have to be in a state of shock because God will provide just what you need.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Invitation. Listen to me. If there's something in your life that you are not sure about, you stand and God will work it out.